Madison.
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Yes, they are. Hello and welcome to the Next Fan Up podcast. The podcast that is by the fans, for the fans. I am Kansas City's chief superfan, Nick. And I am your host, even though I'm actually calling into the show this particular time, because I am out on business up in the Great White North and up in Toronto. But I am joined here by a bevy of superfans. We're going to have a really, really good discussion. We have a really nice, good, beefy crew, headlined by our 49er superfan, Charlie. How are you doing, Charlie?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Doing good. We also have a very optimistic and happy Dolphins superfan, Ron. How bright and shiny is the sky, Ron?
Oh, it's so bright. I have to wear extra dark sunglasses in here in South Florida.
The sun is shining for the Dolphins organization.
Oh, always.
Always. Also, enjoying probably very similar weather to me up here is Green Bay superfan Brian. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing great. Weather here today is this balmy 50 degrees, so no complaints on the weather front.
And, of course, just to make it an extra rivalry edition, get some northern hater love going on, we also have Chicago Tom. How are you doing, Tom?
Very tired of watching Peyton Manning highlights in which a Super Bowl where they came out victorious over the Bears feature prominently.
Yeah, I can imagine there was a lot of that. I remember that one. We'll be getting into a little bit of that. As I imagine, probably most fans who are not from Denver or Indianapolis are probably sick of hearing of this particular gentleman, but we do have to touch upon it. But if this is your first time listening to the Next Fan Up podcast, just to explain a bit, we have super fans from almost every team in the league. We're looking for to get a few teams to join us here. We need some super fans to get involved. And if you're interested in joining this crazy podcast, also if you just want to follow us, talk some jive with us, you can find all of our podcasts at blogtalkradio.com/nextfanup. You can chat with us on Twitter at NFU Podcast. You can find us on Facebook as well, where we actually have written versions of all of our team's to-do lists. And that is just by typing a Next Fan Up Podcast into the Facebook search bar. And again, if you want to apply to be one of the, to represent your team and your crazy fan base on this podcast, you know, send us your thoughts on where your team should go to nextfanup@gmail.com. And now is an especially exciting time to do that because pretty soon we're going to be unveiling our Super Mock Draft, which, you know, there's a lot of mock drafts out there. And I think, you know, all of us fans, we read all of them. We're paying a lot of attention to them. There's probably more out there than there should be. But, you know, it's done by a certain, you know, it's national commentators who don't know the team with the level of granular and emotional detail that we do. And so what's really fun is when we do the mocks, we all put on GM hats, we pretend like we're the GMs, and we do what we think our team should do and act out a full role-played draft in that sense with trades and all that. So, and it's one of the most fun things we do. That's coming up soon. And again, if you want to represent your team in that, now is the time to get in touch with us. We'll also be, for some of the empty spots we have, we're going to be putting up Twitter polls in terms of who the fans, you know, think that team should pick as we go through it. So, definitely stay involved. But enough of all that long-winded self-promotion. Let's get into the news for the NFL this week. I mean, obviously the big news, what everyone's complaining about seeing too much of, is the totally shocking and unexpected news that Peyton Manning is retiring. We all knew it was coming. He, you know, it may have even been in some ways half a season too late. But Peyton Manning is, you know, one of those guys. He was able to go out on top right out of a championship win. And look, no matter what you think of how he's played in the last season and, you know, late last season, late season before rather, he's one of those guys. He's going to be in the 1A, 1B discussion with Tom Brady, possibly for who's the best ever, you know, I mean, but he's up there. And, And look, he had a great season. He changed the way that I think we played the game. But Chicago, Tom, you know, what are your thoughts on Peyton Manning? You watch a lot of this game. What was his impact?
Would it be tasteless of me at this point to mention that there are trainers all over the league that are really relieved right now? That, you know, those are my thoughts. In all seriousness, I am glad that he retired when he did. I think he did it at the right time. I think we all knew that. Nobody wanted to sit through another season of watching him without an arm left. And, you know, I would have hated to have seen him gone to the Rams in the same way that Joe Namath did. And, you know, have your last image of him as being some guy who was sitting on the bench behind Case Keenum. So I'm kind of glad that's not going to happen. And I'm kind of glad that, you know, the commissioner can't suspend him for PEDs anymore, that he's going to get away with that. And, you know, I'm happy to see him go.
I definitely agree that I'm happy to see him go. A couple things, though. He's definitely, in my mind, a 1C. I mean, I know I have my Niner bias, but I got to say it's Joe Montana, Tom Brady, and then Peyton Manning. Definitely the best regular season quarterback of all time. I have to emphasize regular season extremely. And he could not be suspended for the PEDs because it happened in 2011, which was pre the new CBA that outlined their NFL's policy on HGH. That was for his wife, but outlined the policy for HGH, which was not into effect when the delivery happened in 2010.
Yeah, well, that's true, but you and I and everybody else would have had to have suffered through like 8 million articles on profootballtalk.com about the whole investigation, and I think that may not happen now. Let's hope. So in that respect, it's very good for all of us.
What do you think, Brian? You have yourself, you know, one of those quarterbacks that's going to be in the discussion probably at some point of, you know, one of the greatest. Where does he rank in relation to A-Rodge and just in general in the league?
All right. So I would say that I'm not quite ready to put Rodgers into the same category as those other guys yet. I hope you're right about that, but I feel like you need to win more than one Super Bowl to even really be in the discussion. I think that's kind of where the discussion starts, is after you get to two, which Peyton Manning did this year, was able to win second Super Bowl. I guess I have a little bit different perspective than the rest of the guys so far, in that on the one side, I'm happy that he's retiring as a champion, and happy that, you know, he really wasn't the same player as we were all used to seeing this year. So to have to watch him go through another year where we drag this out and kind of watch him turn into a shell of the quarterback that everyone remembers, I did not want to have to see that happen any more than it already has. But at the same time, he was one of those guys that you tune in to watch the game on Sunday. It was a face of the NFL for many, many years. And, you know, it's always kind of a bittersweet moment when you see those guys walk away.
Speaking of bitter, Ron, do you have any thoughts on Peyton Manning?
I guess I kind of have an opposite thought, because I always loved Peyton Manning. He was always one of my favorite quarterbacks. I mean, a lot of that was because he was one of the few quarterbacks that could seem to beat Brady sometimes in the playoffs, even though not always. And, I mean, it was actually almost close for us as Dolphins fans, because back when the NFL was three divisions, the Colts were actually in the AFC East with New England, with Miami. I mean, that would have been even more of a nightmare, and I probably would have hated his guts like I hate Brady's guts. And it would have been a different story, but just pretty much it seemed like as soon as Manning was in the league, Colts were in the South. And I really enjoyed watching him play, thought he was a fantastic quarterback, thought he was one of the best ever to play. But, I mean, his time is done, I guess. It's time for him to do other things and us to watch other quarterbacks.
And one of those other quarterbacks we will likely be watching, maybe in the blue and orange, but maybe in a different color, is Brock Osweiler, who has been the heir apparent for the Broncos, you know, for quite some time. But he now looks like he's going to at least test the market. The fact that they used their tag on Von Miller opens that up. And there was a report out today. I mean, it was leaked to NFL Network that apparently the Broncos offered Osweiler 3 years, $45 million, which is something like, you know, it's somewhere between Nick Foles and Andy Dalton money, essentially, in terms of the yearly the yearly average, something like it's about the he'd be the 20th highest paid quarterback in terms of yearly average salary, which seems very reasonable. But on the other hand, I just don't know that's going to cut it. Well, it'll be interesting to see what Osweiler is able to get on the market. But the fact is that the market for a starting quality quarterback is much higher, especially a guy that you think might have he's young and might have a bit more upside to him. I mean, we just saw what Bradford got. Bradford got 2 years, $36 million, which based on where like the bonuses are, he basically makes $22 million like this calendar year, you know, for the next up to somewhere in March next year. And Cousins, you know, just got, you know, $19.95 million. And what was interesting is I saw that there is actually I guess Washington was worried that that Philly was going to be interested in Cousins, which, you know, nope, they're locking up their own mediocre quarterback. But all that aside, you know, it's going to bring this interesting moment for Osweiler. I mean, Charlie, your team has a bit of a quarterback controversy going on right now as we speak. I mean, we'll get to that a little later. But, you know, what do you think Osweiler is eventually going to get paid? And is he going to stay a Bronco?
Well, it's interesting. During the combine, Elway said that there's no middle class contract for quarterbacks, which he's absolutely right. And then he goes on to offer his quarterback a middle class contract. Very, very weird. The baseline for this negotiation is the franchise tag. It's going to have to be a number up into that amount. Of course, as we all know, they already gave out the franchise tag to Von Miller. So that's right about where it's going to have to be. It's around $19 million to get him locked up. And I'd imagine him, Osweiler and his agent probably want something around a 1 or a 2 year deal, very similar to Bradford, just to make sure that once he does prove he is who he is, he can really cash in on a payday. That's my take there.
I was chuckling at the fact that we're creating a middle class. I hadn't thought of that. That's a good idea. My personal thoughts on the contract, I think 3 years at $45 million is a good bottom floor number. And if I were to guess, I would say that they might work out a compromise where he has some heavy incentives. Osweiler wasn't that great this year. I mean, he probably deserves about that kind of money based upon what he did just when he played this year. But given his youth and the fact that he's got potential and the fact that I think both sides, it's to their benefit to come to an agreement, I'm sure they can reach a compromise. I would say incentives might do the job. So that's what I would look for there.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like, from the Chiefs' perspective, that there was actually a lot of angst when the Chiefs signed an extension to Alex Smith's contract before they needed to, when there was still, you know, quite a bit of uncertainty about whether or not he was going to be able to be our guy that we could really, you know, go deep with him. And I guess there's still some of that left, but I think he proved a lot last season. But either way, I mean, he's getting paid on average $17 million a year, and everyone's freaking out. Like, that is a crazy amount of money to give a game manager quarterback. But honestly, I think it was smart because now that's what, I mean, if you were to hit the market now, they'd be paying something in the low 20s because that's just what the market is right now for a starting quality quarterback. I guess, you know, from a Dolphins perspective, you have your own young quarterback with some potential. What do you think about this value discussion and any ideas on where Brock lands?
I think he should probably, but if you look at the Tannehill deal, that might be really like it might be a little longer than what you're looking for to give Osweiler. But the fact that the Tannehill deal is kind of set up that after this year, it's pretty much like a series of one-year deals where the team can continuously decide, yes, we're keeping you, so we're going to pay you $15, $17, $18 million, or no, we're not keeping you and you're gone, and it's not going to be that big a hit as far as dead money. If they could set up something like that and be that creative with Osweiler, that might really be a good deal to maybe look at as a blueprint for what they could do to be creative and get him signed.
When we're talking about also guys with the Dolphins, like while I have you here, Ron, actually another one of the, you know, where we've been seeing a few other reports here is concerning Mario Williams, who was cut by the Bills. He's going to make some big money somewhere. he visited with Miami last week, and he's now with the Giants, and apparently they're courting him pretty heavily. But I found that to be a strange idea of, like, why the Dolphins would want to bring him in, just considering, A, he's going to be so expensive, and they already have so much money locked up in that position group. What were your thoughts on Mario Williams potentially coming to your house, Ron?
A couple things on that. Something that just broke, Mike Bertedito just broke, that he actually canceled the Giants visit. Right now he doesn't have any other visits, but it has been reported. Yeah, it just happened, probably an hour before we went on. Right now he doesn't have any other visits scheduled, although he's expected to maybe see the Jags. So I'm not sure what happened there. I don't know if that had something to do with Miami or not. Supposedly he did leave Miami without a deal. I think the Dolphins are pretty much just concerted that they're not going to be keeping OV. I think they pretty much know OV is going to go. They're probably trying to get Mario Williams for cheaper than what he's really going to want to sign for. They're probably looking to get like a DeMarcus Ware deal for him, and I think he wants more of like what OV might be trying to get. I know that they have a desperate need to fill many holes on the defensive side, which we'll talk about when we get into these to-do lists. And they're just taking an opportunity to get a guy with talent. He was very unhappy in Buffalo. He didn't like the way he was being used. He doesn't like being part of the 3-4. He wants to be a 4-3, purely pass-rushing defensive end. That's where he wants to play. And that's what Miami would be able to offer him. Plus, he'd like to get back at Rex, I believe, because he's angry. So let's see what happens with it. Right now for this year, the Dolphins, I don't like all this free agency stuff anymore. It used to excite the crap out of me, and now I'm seeing it's just not the way to build a team because we keep doing it and we keep losing. So I'd rather try and keep our own talent, but unfortunately OV's gotten a little expensive for us, and we can't have that big hole there, so they're kind of stuck.
Well, and real quick, Brian, you know, there's Mario Williams is out there. There's actually several other, you know, big-name, probably expensive, but nonetheless, you know, some big pass rushers out there, and you know, with Peppers and all of that, are any of these names guys that you want to, or I guess Williams specifically, since we're going to get into your to-do list, but like, do you want Mario up in Green Bay?
I don't think we need him. There's been a lot of talk this offseason about how we really need to move Clay Matthews back to the outside, and obviously we had to move him inside because we had a bunch of guys named Dave kind of trying to play for us, and we were a little bit deeper on the outside, and we could kind of handle that flexibility. But if we are truly talking about moving Clay outside, then I don't think we need a guy like Mario Williams. It's really, really not Ted Thompson's style to go after a guy like Mario Williams. Everybody else is excited about free agency starting on Tuesday. I'm excited for free agency that starts in like 3 weeks.
That is the Green Bay way. Well, and speaking of the schedule, part of what makes this really basically the eve of free agency, speaking now, is because, you know, we're speaking on Sunday night, and tomorrow, Monday morning, is when the somewhat new kind of open tampering couple of days begins, where teams between Monday and you know, early Wednesday can talk to other teams' free agents before they officially hit the market. And the idea was just because they were having to punish 70 teams for tampering anyway. I think the idea was that they were going to, you know, give the space of a couple of days to just totally open all that floodgates before people start having to write crazy checks in this sort of panicked rush when free agency begins in earnest on the 9th. But it's also, you know, it seems like the teams haven't been too happy with it. And there's also, you know, been quite a bit of, you know, talk that there's still tampering going on anyway. And there probably always will be. But it was something that we were talking about before the program. Tom, you had some thoughts from the Combine that you thought that there are some of the front office people were sort of pulling back the curtain a little bit, perhaps accidentally on that.
Yeah, Chad York was talking about the request of Colin Kaepernick's agents to seek a trade. And the first thing he did was he denied that he'd given them permission, which I was under the impression that, you know, the agents thought they already had. But it was one of the oddest interviews, I mean, that I've ever read. He said that essentially we have not given him permission to seek a trade. And then he went on, and he was asked like three times about this. He said, well, they don't really need permission from us because there's tampering going on. It's going on all the time. And you know, so the interviewer kept asking them repeatedly, well, have you given him permission? He kept saying, and the answer kept coming out, he doesn't really need it. And the message that I took away was, we don't want to say that we've given him permission to seek a trade because we don't want to devalue him in a trade scenario. But on the other hand, everybody's welcome to talk to the agent because that's what people do anyway. And if you give us a call and offer us something, well, we'll consider it, you know. And so it was like a double message there. And it's a very odd situation where, you know, you'd think that a lot of these teams that are trying to keep players would be upset at the idea of tampering going on with them. But in the case of Jed York, it was kind of like, well, you know, it would almost work to his advantage because he doesn't have to say, yeah, we want to let him see what he can get, you know, implying that he's not in our plans anymore. It was more like, well, they're tampering anyway, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so what is going on there, Charlie?
Yeah, so my take on it is this. The Niners, when they originally hired Kelly, everyone and their brother said, oh, that's the perfect offense for Colin Kaepernick. Kelly needs someone who's mobile, this and that and the other. If you look at Kelly's most successful year in the NFL was with Nick Foles, who is not a mobile quarterback, who's more of a statue, but was very, very, you know, very accurate. And what do you have, like three picks that year, three or four, something like that? That's not Colin Kaepernick. Kaepernick is a wind-up. He, you know, if you think of Hideki Matsui, the New York Yankees pitcher, that is what Colin Kaepernick's delivery looks like. He's a very elongated delivery guy. Kelly doesn't like that type of quarterback. And I thought it was very funny that the organization was even kind of pushing that agenda a bit of saying, yeah, this is the perfect offense. That's the reason why we hired Chip Kelly, was for Colin Kaepernick and to allow him to develop within this offense. And that's the way the propaganda went. In my mind, they have been from day one trying to get Kaepernick out. But Kaepernick and his agents, who I can go for a long time about how bad Kaepernick's agents are, and I think a lot of people could too, knowing what his contract looks like. But then they go in and ask for a trade. You just killed whatever leverage the Niners had. They had everything groomed and set up for you to go. If you want to go be with Nessa over in New York, early in February, they leaked that Kaepernick wanted to go be with his girlfriend, who is a radio DJ over in New York, leaked that he wanted to go play for the Jets. I loved how Brandon Marshall came out and said, no, I want Fitzpatrick. And, you know, he just keeps on killing his own trade value. And the Niners, as we've seen, well, they don't like to have egg on their face, even though it continuously happens. They're not going to let him go out the door for free. So he keeps on killing their trade value, and then they're just going to end up, in my mind, keeping him on the roster. Jed York tried to do damage control because the interview you're referring to happened after Kaepernick's agents leaked that they had asked for a trade request. And nowhere in there did Jed York say that they were granting that, but he's trying to build that value back up, basically. He said that the NFL does allow, or the NFL combine has so much tampering, and that they have taken the governor off a little bit too much. So he was actually demeaning some of the tampering that happens. And in my mind, the two teams that had tampered with him the most were the two teams that the very next day, in my mind, the Niners organization leaked that had interest in Kaepernick, being the Cleveland Browns and the Houston Texans. Of course, those organizations next day said, no, we don't have interest in Kaepernick, which even if they had tampered with him, of course they're going to say that. they want to make sure that the Niners have to make the first call to them, which means that they are the Niners are desperate and that they're going to get Kaepernick at a lower value. But listen, if my also underlying thing here is I believe Jim Harbaugh is involved in this very very tumultuous part of the offseason for the Niners. On February 5th, which was just a couple days after the Super Bowl, Tim Kawakami, who's a very a lot of Niner fans would say crazy beat writer, had Harbaugh on, and he talked about how often he talks to Kaepernick's dad, of course his adopted dad, but how often he talks to him and how often he talks to him about his situation in San Francisco. That leads me to believe that Harbaugh is making this very, very difficult on the 49ers, and trying to make it to where the Niners have to keep Kaepernick on their roster as a malcontent, which isn't even good for Kaepernick. So it's a very, very bad situation that stems all the way back to, you know, late 2013 when the Niners, for whatever reason, let Jim Harbaugh go.
That's really interesting. You have a lot of drama going on over there in San Francisco. Well, that's, you know,
as the page turns, so does the days of our lives.
Yeah, exactly. So actually, I mean, that's a great transition into really your to-do list. So let's go ahead and just dig into that. And, you know, you've been talking a lot about sort of all of these complicated machinations going on around Kaepernick and his contract. So let's just start there. Like, what do you want to do at quarterback? Like, what, you know, do you want to make a play for somebody else? Do you just try to make the best out of Gabbard and Kaepernick? What's your plan there?
As soon as Chip Kelly was hired, I said to anyone who would listen that it was not going to be Kaepernick as the starting quarterback. They were going to try to build his value up and get him out. Ever since the agents came out and said that, you know, he wants out, I don't think they're going to get much for him. And so I don't think that they're going to allow him to be cut. So what they're going to do is just keep him on the roster. And Blaine Gabbert will be the starting quarterback unless a second or third round quarterback emerges. I know that they had some visits with Vernon Adams during the combine that could end up, you know, being a good pick for them. But, yeah, honestly, I think it's going to be Blaine Gabbert that will be the starting quarterback in week one. But really, my – is that what I would do? Yes. Yes, yes, it is. And the reason why is I don't see this team is full of holes, basically. Most likely, they're probably going to be in a top 15 pick next year as well. Why go after a quarterback that you aren't sold on? There's so many – red flags when it comes to Jared Goff, his size, his what was the big thing from the combine? His hands were small. You know, I don't see them going after him when they have so many other holes along the roster. But to go right into those holes that are along the roster, I think the Niners address free agency address the offensive line when it comes to free agency. I think they're gonna go hard for either Brandon Brooks or Kalichia Asemele. I know I'm saying that wrong, but the guard from the Ravens. Thank you, Asemele. Yes. I think, you know, I'd rather have Asemele, but he's going to be the most expensive of the two between Brooks and him. So I think Balky will end up going for Brooks. 27-year-old, great at the zone blocking scheme. Definitely better run blocker than pass pro, which is great for Chip's scheme. A lot of people don't know that Chip actually wants to run the ball the majority of the time. He's not the type of guy who wants to spread it out and throw 3-yard out routes. No, he throws the ball to run his inside or outside zone. So Brandon Brooks would fit nicely in there. I don't know why they haven't re-signed Ian Williams already. Definitely one of the top nose tackles in the league. One of the best in defending the run, and late in the season, he was actually starting to get pressure up the middle on passing downs. Ian does have some durability concerns, He had a couple of knee injuries in his past and an ankle injury. And I think they'll be able to get his contract done cheaper. He's a two-down player at nose tackle, but even towards the end of the year, the Niners started putting him into sub-packages on nickel downs. But I think they'll be able to get it for $5 to $6 million per year, which the Niners have the fifth most cap space in the NFL per over the cap, sitting at about $62 million. That should be easily enough to be able to get him in. And then I think it's time to release Ahmad Brooks. The outside linebacker for the Niners is getting, I want to say he's 30 or 31 years old, very expensive, and he's really getting in the way of developing players like Eli Harold, Corey Lemonnier, Aaron Lynch. And Brooks's cap hit is $9.5 million. The Niners can save $5.6 million if they cut him with the June 1st designation. And only have 2.3 in dead money. So that's exactly what I think they do. Same thing with Eric Pierce. The tackle they brought in was one of the worst tackles in the league and actually got replaced by Andrew Tiller and Jordan Devey late in the year. They can save $2.2 million by cutting him. And then it's time to go hard after a wide receiver. I'd like to see him bring in a Roddy White type guy. That could be good for the Niners, and I know Chip Kelly likes that bigger body wide receiver. So, yeah, we'll see. And so far, I mean, that's about where I think we are. I would love for them to take a run at Alex Mack, but I just don't see Trent Baalke taking that putting that type of money into a player. But yeah, that's the headlines of my wish list.
Interesting stuff. Well, you know, I asked the questions I was most interested in. Before he even got started, any of the rest of you guys, do you have any burning questions for the 49ers?
Any other unexpected retirements coming? There was kind of a burgeoning group of people that were joining that crew, and it was kind of came out of nowhere. So I'm kind of curious. It seemed like San Francisco was kind of ground zero for that. So I don't know. Anybody we should be keeping our eye out for?
Listen, it's a question that I don't blame you for asking, but no, there's no retirements that I have heard. they do have a decent core of young players, especially on the defensive side. Their offense was just so terrible last year, sitting at 31 overall. Only the St. Louis Rams were worse. If they can fix that offense, I really do feel that defense will be better because they're not always on the field. A lot of people said that Chip Kelly is the type of guy that ruins defenses. Well, Niners defense is already on the field all the time because they have 2-3 and out artists and Kaepernick and Blaine Gabbert. So honestly, I think they're going to be a ton better once they shore up that offensive line and actually have some actually decent play calling and scheme from Chip Kelly.
Cool stuff. Well, I want to take us now, because we haven't heard from the guy in a while, to the other end of the team building spectrum, from a team that you know needs to do a lot of work in order to make themselves back into the playoff hunt, to Green Bay, where you guys you fell short, but there was there's a lot of promise there. What do you think they need to do to get back, Brian?
I think we got to do more of the same. I know it's not going to excite most people, but kind of locking up the players that we've locked up. Mike Daniels, one of the more underrated defensive tackles in this league. We just signed Mason Crosby this week, signed LaTroy Guyon earlier. So kind of doing our best to keep the pieces we have together, and just doing a good job of managing the cap. I think, you know, that's the big reason why we can compete at the playoff caliber level year in and year out is because we don't go crazy spending in free agency and we don't make crazy trades to go grab a top five player in the draft. And I think that continuity is important to all football teams. And probably the best examples you'll see of that are kind of the teams that are in the playoffs every year, the Packers, the Steelers, the Patriots, all those teams that, they're going to have at least 10 wins a year and maybe more. So as far as what we need to do this offseason, free agency, we'll see. Mike McCarthy, for some reason, blurted out that the Packers are going to shock some people in free agency this year, which makes me think nothing is going to happen. Because why else would you say that? That doesn't make any sense to me. So we'll see. As far as free agency goes, there are a few positions that I think would be better suited for filling in free agency rather than our usual draft route. Primarily tight end. You know, since we've lost JerMichael Finley in 2013, we have really underperformed at that position relative to the rest of the league. And especially with the prevalence of spread offenses in college, it seems like tight ends, they just take a year or two to really become productive players when they get to the NFL. So I'm really looking for somebody to come in and be able to contribute right away. And to me, that means probably looking at free agency to see who might be out there. It looks like there's going to be a pretty good crop of tight ends available this offseason. Antonio Gates, Ladarius Green, Vernon Davis. I know Chicago Tom is going to be sad to see Martellus Bennett leave Chicago. those are the guys that would probably excite me the most. I don't think they're going to be guys that are going to be crazy expensive either. Gates, I'm guessing, probably goes back to San Diego. He's the one I've probably been most curious about because he's, you know, one of those fantasy football guys that you can count on year in and year out. But even if he goes back to San Diego, his teammate Ladarius Green is kind of a JerMichael Finley clone. So if we could get him in here, I'd be excited about that. Martellus Bennett, Vernon Davis, those are all guys that I think bring a little bit more athleticism to the position than just kind of a blocking type tight end. So I think that's a one spot that if I were the GM of the Packers, I'd try to see who's out there, what I could do in free agency. Other than that, I'd say inside linebacker has been the other spot where we've kind of underperformed mostly. The two Denver guys that are free agents, Danny Trevathan and Brandon Marshall, are the most appealing to me. I feel like our inside linebackers are really more of the run-stuffing variety, and we really don't have a guy that can cover. So naturally, I want to see us try to find somebody who can fill that need for us. And those two guys will probably be expensive. I'm guessing they're not guys that I would expect that would show up in Green Bay. I'm probably somebody more like from Indianapolis, Terrell Freeman, who might still be hanging around free agency after the first wave. So those are the two positions I feel like we need the most attention spent on. The only other thing I would add is that there's been a lot of chatter this offseason about Matt Forte, and I think I'd be delighted to have him as a Packer. I felt he's been undervalued for most of his career. He does have a lot of touches, I'll say that. He catches the ball a lot. He runs between the tackles. So I'm guessing that the proverbial cliff is probably fast approaching, but maybe we could extend his career for a year or two if he were in more of a complimentary role and not having to carry the ball, touch the ball 20 times a game. The offense certainly could have used another pass catcher last year. Overall, though, if I had to prioritize, I'd say that's kind of toward the back burner for us. If we can get him cheap and he wants to come, I'm happy to have him, but I'm also fine if we decide to spend that money somewhere else and look to the draft for more of a Matt Forte type.
He'd be perfect for you, and I believe me, it hurts me to say it, but he'd be perfect for that offense. Good luck with Martellus Bennett. You guys are welcome to him.
We'll see how he fits in. He's definitely a quirky guy, and I don't know that Green Bay is probably the place he wants to be, but I think the body type is kind of what we need, and the production that I've seen from him is something that would make me excited. Whether or not he's excited about Green Bay is probably a totally different story.
He'd be he's a very good tight end. There's no doubt about it, but he's very immature. It'd be very interesting to see how that would work.
I think he's going to Seattle.
That would be a good fit.
That would be a very good fit. They'd put up with it. They put up with it from a lot of other players there. You know, I think that that'd be an excellent fit. I think that they could incorporate him into that locker room with all those personalities, and you'd never even notice.
Yep, split Jimmy out wide, then you'd have him as an inline tight end. That would actually work really well. That scares me. I hope that doesn't happen. Don't trade him to Seattle, Tom.
I don't see the Packers trading for Martellus. He's actually a guy that I think would have to get cut for us to be interested too much. And that actually brings me to another point I meant to mention earlier is if you're looking at guys who the Packers are going to be more interested in free agency, it's not probably not going to be the unrestricted free agents as much as it would be the guys who were released by their former teams, because those guys don't count against the compensatory pick equation. And that, you know how near and dear to Ted Thompson's heart all those picks are. Those are as good as gold. So anything that we can do to bring in extra talent and avoid kind of taking a hit in our compensatory calculation would be of interest to him.
Yeah, now, you know, the Chiefs GM now, John Dorsey, comes through Green Bay, and you can definitely see that trait in him as well. I mean, it's almost like he's rooting at times for the Chiefs to be outbid for certain guys, because he knows we're going to get a third round, you know, next year anyway if they get a good contract. And now that those looks like those are going to be tradable, those are actually going to be some, you know, I think forward-looking GMs are going to, you know, are going to be able to use those in an advantageous way. So that's going to be an interesting side to all of this in this next cycle. But just to go to, you know, just to cross the country entirely and again go to a team that, well, I guess both of our remaining teams probably need quite a bit of work. But I'm interested to hear more from you, Ron. I want to hear more about how the defilbinization of the Dolphins is going and what you think needs to be done to complete that task.
Well, first thing I have to say is, what the heck is a compensatory pick? Because down here in Miami, we don't know what those are. We never get those. We always sign 100 free agents. But anyway, the big thing with Miami and what I'm really looking to see them do is they've spent the last 4 or 5, however many years, under Stephen Ross, our owner, trying to just win big in the offseason, win big in free agency. And obviously it hasn't worked because, I mean, we've gotten ourselves 8-8, 7-9, 8-8, 6-10. I mean, that's where we've been with it. So I really like to see them try and build through the draft. Now, they've got themselves stuck with OV because instead of trying to really lock him up last year, and you knew what you had with OV last year. You knew his strengths. You knew his weaknesses. It's no surprise. He didn't just kind of come out of nowhere for us. We knew what he was. They knew they needed to try and lock him up long term, but instead they focused on free agency again and didn't have the money to try and lock up OV, so now he's gotten too expensive. So that's why we're in the Mario Williams talk, but I'd really like to see him go into the draft for a defensive end. I'm okay if they let OV walk. I just don't think he's worth what he's going to get. But I'm sure like Oakland or Jacksonville or a team like that can just front load a contract because we transition tagged them. So they can front load a contract where they know Miami's not going to be able to touch it if they want to. So maybe we go get Buckner or Lawson or something like that. But Miami has several needs on defense. Really, you need 3 cornerbacks in this league. We have 1, and the one we have is kind of old. And he's very expensive, and there's a question whether we'll even keep him, and that's in Brent Grimes. As well as our linebacking core is probably worst or second worst in the NFL, and that's just the truth. We have 1 decent one. So I was kind of hoping maybe Miles Jack would fall our way, or we would just go nice and comfortable with Reggie Ragland. But at this point, cornerback, you know, linebacker, defensive end, we're going to need them all. You're probably not going to be able to get them all through the draft, so there'll be some supplementing, I guess. But on the offensive side of the ball, I'm okay if they go out and they try and maybe get a Mathis or a Schwartz or a guard like that. Schwartz from the Giants and Mathis, obviously, from Denver and formerly from Philly. Just to kind of give a guy a 2-year deal, maybe backloaded a little, just to kind of help Tannehill a little bit because that offensive line has been pretty shaky. I do want to see them lock down Lamar Miller. That's very important to me. I think Lamar Miller has been a very good back for us. He's been one of the league leaders in yards per carry, and that's been being misused, underused behind a really bad offensive line with a lot of issues. On the quarterback side, we're just kind of in a wait and see on Tannehill. Gase is supposed to be a quarterback whisperer, and Tom has even mentioned to me that he saw Cutler do some things and make some moves and play in some ways that he was surprised to see in Chicago. So we're kind of hopeful there, but we're going to see. We may end up cutting bait with him after a year as well. I mean, there's a lot of work to do in Miami, plus the depth situation. I mean, we don't even have starters. We need two linebacker starters, two cornerback starters, possibly a defensive end. And we really don't have depth behind most of these positions either, really none. And we need a safety. I mean, we really have a problem at safety, too, who we started last year. Walt Akins didn't really work out. Now, we have a great strong safety in Rashad Jones, Pro Bowler. He's awesome. But beyond Sue and maybe Jones and then Wake, if he comes back from the injury, I mean, you really have questions at all of the rest of the defense. Guys, we could be looking at one of the worst defenses in the NFL this year if they don't figure it out. Now, they went and restructured Sue's deal, so they've opened up money there. They cut Greg Jennings. They've opened up money there. They may cut Jordan Cameron. So you're looking for a tight end in Green Bay. I tell you what, you may just hold for a second, because if they cut Jordan Cameron, that's your guy. That's who you go get. Because they signed him to a two-year deal. They backloaded it, so he's real expensive this year. And we need him because we don't have an answer at tight end if he's gone. But we may not be able to afford to keep him because we got to get some defense in. So you see that all this free agent spending we've done over all these years, we're paying the bills right now in 2016. It's time to pay the bills, unfortunately. And they're going to have to be real creative in trying to put together at least a defense that is maybe middle of the road this year. But I have a feeling it's going to get ugly and the Dolphins will be scored on a lot, because they were last year and they're probably going to be worse this year.
When you spent the money to tag Olivia Vernon, why not spend $3 million more and make it exclusive?
Because he's not
worth it.
Especially
when you did those.
He's just not worth it. That's the problem. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say he's probably one of your better pass rushing threats. I know he doesn't have a lot of sacks, but he does have a lot of pressures. When you say that, your defense is porous, that's probably one of the best ways to shore up a defense is pass rush, as we all saw in the Super Bowl.
He's not worth $15 million. See, that's the problem. They put themselves into this situation last year. They needed to focus last year on trying to sign him at a cheaper deal before he got this expensive. He's just not worth $15 million. He has always had another guy at the defensive side taking up two blockers, either Wake or Sue, have always been there for OV to take up two blockers. He's going one-on-one a huge percentage of the time. He doesn't set the edge. He can't stop the run. He's immature. He gets a lot of personal fouls. He cost us the Jacksonville game last year with a personal foul. The guy's just not worth $15 million. I like him. I want him on the team. But, I mean, the Dolphins did this to themselves. They needed to be smart. They needed to do what Green Bay does and what New England does and Pitt does and recognize when your guys have talent and lock them up before it gets too crazy, and not spend all your money on free agency so that you can't lock them up. So now they're stuck. $15 million, that's a lot of money for 1 year, with a lot of backloaded deals, which, of course, Miami will always do. They could go get four or five players with backloaded deals to fill all these holes for what OV gives you, and it's just not worth it. And that's the reason why I think they decided to I think they transition tagged them to keep them out of going to any team. This way New England can't go get him, or the Jets can't get him, or Buffalo can't get him, because they're also cap tight. This way you transition tag him, and only a team with tons of space can go front load a deal, take him from Miami, but it'll keep those teams that we don't want to have them keeping him. I'm guessing that's why they did the transition tag. They did the same thing last year with Clay, and we ended up losing Charles Clay as well. But unfortunately, we just need that money. And that's
great
just a
point.
Fact. We messed up last year.
That's a great point.
Is there any talk about DeMontre Moore or Garrett Shelby or any of these guys, kind of stepping up in Vernon's spot? I mean, I know Shelby's a free agent, but I assume they want to keep him. They should. He can stop the run. And DeMontre Moore, he did a lot of good things for the Giants for a while. Still a relatively young player. Kind of wonder if he couldn't be a pass rusher off the edge from the right side. Are there any thoughts on him, down there in terms of
there
being?
There's been some talk and some chatter about him possibly replacing OV if OV walks and they don't find another option. But I really think that knowing the Dolphins, they're trying to go bigger with that. They're trying to sell it. And they've got the new stadium. They've got the canopy. They want to put butts in the seats. And it's just all the things that, I mean, Ross and Tanner, Ross has been doing the same thing. Our owner Ross has been doing the same thing for years and years and years. He sells used cars. And then he went and got Tannenbaum, who's a better used car salesman than Jeff Ireland was. I mean, that's just a fact, just to kind of sell what we're trying to do in Miami. So they're going to try and make the bigger splash. I think a smart team might not do that and try and go with more and re-sign Shelby, because you could get Shelby a lot cheaper. And he did pretty good in the absence of Wake last year. In my opinion, I thought he did pretty good. So I think he'd be worth keeping, but... I mean, Miami's in trouble on the defensive side of the ball, and that's not even to mention what's going on the offensive side of whether we've got the right quarterback or not. There's definitely a lot of turmoil right now going on in South Florida.
They do have a problem. It was very easy to run away from Sue. I mean, if you watch the games, they got run all over, but what they did was they just went away from him every single time, and they ran over Jordan Phillips, and Oliver Vernon was usually on the same side, and they'd run right over those guys, right over the linebacker, and before you blink, they'd be 4 yards downfield. So they need to do something. I mean, Sue didn't solve all their problems. He can only help you on one side, and on the other side, they look really bad. So I agree. That's where they have to build.
Yeah, for sure.
Well,
for sure.
And speaking of another team that has a bit of a, you know, a controversial quarterback situation, you know, maybe he's the guy, maybe he's not, seems to be the eternal question with Jay Cutler, and one that definitely, a team that definitely needs some defensive help. Help us break that down, Tom. What do you think that your team needs to be doing?
Well, Cutler is going to be the starter this year, whether I like it or not. He had a career year last year. I think, as Ron pointed out, Adam Gase had something to do with that. He became a bit more of a game manager. He played a lot smarter. He was a lot more efficient. I still don't trust the guy, because I've just seen him quit, really just flat out quit too often. I do think that the Bears coaching staff is a little bit smarter than I gave him credit for. I think that they do understand that mental toughness is his problem, based upon a few comments that I've heard. And they were pleasantly surprised that he was as mentally tough last year as he was, and so was I. And he may be different. You know, he may have turned the page. But I've seen him for, you know, I saw him for the previous 6 years when he was a problem. In any case, he's entrenched as the starter this year. I would recommend that they be looking in the draft for a quarterback of the future. And I do hope that they look at somebody in, you know, the middle rounds to draft and develop behind him. If you want somebody off, you know, maybe a Dak Prescott would be somebody that they might think about. Somebody a little bit farther down might be a Brandon Allen, who also has small hands, but who has really looked good to me. He had a really good Senior Bowl. And so he's a guy, you know, those are the types of guys they may be considering to get in as a backup, somebody with the potential to start in a couple years, when Cutler will be 35 and might be closer to the end of the road. And that's just assuming that he performs this year like he did last year. Nearly all the work they have to do is on defense. You're absolutely right. They have to re-sign Alshon Jeffrey. They'll do that. They have to decide what they're going to do at tight end. It does look like they're trying to trade Bennett. Zach Miller was their best tight end last year. He's a free agent. I think they're waiting to see, you know, what happens to him in the market. He may be back. If he gets, you know, if somebody really wants him, then they can have him, and the Bears will be looking for a tight end as well. But really, most of their holes are on the defensive side. They have to get better at the line of scrimmage. They need two defensive ends. That's two starters, let alone better depth. They need linebackers. They need a safety. They need a cornerback. And they'll be looking to draft guys. That's really, you know, the way that Ryan Pace wants to develop the team, and that's fine with me. I think that's the way to go. They'll be very careful in free agency. They won't be the Packers, but they're going to be looking for younger guys that they think they can sign and then get to outplay their deals. You know, that is going to be the kind of guy that they're going to be pegging. Brian mentioned Jarrell Freeman. He'd be perfect for them. He's 29, so he's a little bit older than they'd like to go, but he'd be a good name to think about for them. Deshaun Gibson, he's the kind of guy that's kind of flying under the radar. They could target a guy like that right out of the blocks in free agency, see if they could get him at half the price of a Loka or somebody like that. But they're not going to make any big splashes, you know, other than, you know, maybe one Purnell McPhee type signing. They'll wait for the first wave of free agency to go over and see who's left over. And after that, sign the guys that are their own free agents that they might want back who didn't get offers in that first wave, maybe a Tracy Porter, a Jarvis Jenkins they might be glad to have back, even like a Shay McClellan, who might really do well to move on. But, you know, if he's not offered anything in free agency and the Bears don't think that they can improve on him at the position, I think they'd probably welcome him back as well. The Bears have a number of guys like that that they're going to go ahead and let hit the free agent market and, you know, reassess after that first wave is over and see where they're at. And I think that's the way they're going to handle their offseason for the most part. That's pretty much going to be the way that they work.
That's interesting. You know, I mean, there's a lot of it's interesting that we have both, you know, since we have both Green Bay and Chicago on the line, I'm interested to hear you guys' thoughts on how you think the division is going to shake out, because it seems like every team you can make a case for them rising and falling. What are your guys' predictions? How is it going to, what are the rankings going to be?
I would say that I think until the rest of the division catches up at quarterback, I think the Packers are probably, it'd be hard to pick to pick anybody else, I think. That said, I think the Vikings kind of showed a few things last year. That defense looks really good. Mike Zimmer is exactly what they need at coach. If they can get Teddy Bridgewater to take the next step, they can probably press to be the best in the division. They did win the division this year, and, you know, they earned it. I'll give them that. But they got bounced in the first round of the playoffs again. I don't see them as being a better team than the Packers are at this point. But I think it's close, and probably closer than most casual fans around the league realize. And then I think there's a pretty big gap. Sorry, Tom. I will say that I like the coaching staff that the Bears have assembled. That makes me nervous that when they do finally get talent on that team, that they're going to be able to do something with it. Even last year, kind of with a mostly talented, depleted roster, the Bears looked pretty good. I would say they overperformed expectations from most people around the league. I don't know if you feel that way, Tom, but that was kind of how I felt about them. And then the Lions, who knows with the Lions? Now Megatron might be retired. Maybe he's not. Even if he's not, the team is a perpetual disappointment, it seems. So I think they're probably in line for more of the same.
Yeah. Several years ago.
First of all, I think you're absolutely right. I would put it in even stronger terms. I think what the coaching staff did in Chicago last year is nothing short of a miracle on the defensive side of the ball. And really the offensive side too, they've got players on offense, but when Alshon Jeffrey went down and what Kevin White was already out, they didn't have much at wide receiver. And I thought Adam Gase did a real good job. They're going to miss him. They are way far away from challenging in the division, and they'll probably come in last again. They'll improve that roster. And, you know, hopefully things will gradually get better, but they're a couple years away. I mean, they're going to build from the ground up and really try to build a solid foundation. And I support that, perfectly willing to be patient and wait for them to do that. I agree. I think Green Bay is the class of the division. I don't think Minnesota is that far behind. I'll tell you, in my opinion, what it comes down to, they're pretty strong in a lot of spots. And I think Teddy's going to get better, but what they need is an offensive line. That line was horrific last year at times. And that is the reason why they couldn't beat the really good teams. And so I'll be very interested to see what they do to improve that offensive line in the offseason. If they do a good job of strengthening it, I think they've got a good enough defense and enough on offense to give you guys a run for your money, and I'll be really looking forward to seeing how that goes. I don't know what to make of the Lions exactly. I do know that they need help on the offensive line as well, and until they get it, they're not going to compete for anything. I kind of want to think that the talent on that team's a little bit better than we think, but I'm not so sure keeping the coaching staff on for another year was the greatest thing. They may have been better off just turning it over and starting over again. We'll just have to wait and see. I don't have a lot of faith in them, but I kind of like what they're doing in the front office. And, you know, they may be a year or two away from competing as well. But I'd look at the Vikings. I think they could become a serious issue if they build that lineup. That's my take.
Quick input there, Tom. I'm very familiar with your coaching staff, of course, Vic Fangio. The one position that they did like to spend on there in San Francisco was defensive end. You know, of course, Ray McDonald and Justin Smith were making, you know, pretty good money for us. What do you think about a Malik Jackson signing there? You have $46 million, and you have to spend some money to get up from that ceiling. What, is it 90% of the cap?
They have a lot of cap space. You're right, almost $50 million. But the problem is that they have that cap space because they don't have that many guys signed. They have a lot of guys that are hitting free agency. They were on one-year deals. And so they have a lot of holes to fill with that money. And so I there's a site, I can't remember the name of it, but they broke down the salary cap, but they took things like that into account. And the Bears, despite the fact that they have all this money available, actually only rated like 11th in the league in terms of cap space when you accounted for all the positions that they had to fill and everything they had to use that money for. Now, having said that, they do have the money to make one splash signing. I don't think, I could be wrong, I don't think they're going to spend it on a Malik Jackson or a Danny Trevathan, because they're going to have to give those guys a lot of money. They're going to have to overpay. And they are not going to do that. That is very unbearlike. It was unbearlike even before John Fox and Ryan Pace got here. And based upon what they did last year, I would say that they're not going to change that. They're going to be looking for the under-the-radar guys. They're not going to be out there looking for Mario Williams or people, you know, big names, people that are going to command a lot of money for, admittedly, maybe for a lot of production. But they want deals. They're looking for value. I'm almost positive they're going to pick out guys, like I said, hopefully younger guys that they think they can give some money to, a decent amount, but still will outplay their contract and still be a very good value 3 years from now. I think that's what they're looking for. So Jackson's a possibility. There are a few other guys out there that are possibilities, but I don't really see it happening. I don't think it's the philosophy right now for the organization.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. We've had a jam-packed episode here, a lot of good stuff. We went, you know, were able to go deep on four teams and talk about some of the latest news. And like I said at the top of the program, if you're interested in getting involved and joining onto the podcast, give us an email at nextfanup@gmail.com. And if you just want to, you know, again, give some input, give some the complaint department when it comes to me is I am at Clayton Nicholas on Twitter. If they want to send all sorts of biting critiques of your thoughts, where can they find you, Tom?
I am at Bearing the News, all one word.
And we have a lot of really good Twitter puns here, speaking of which. How can they get? How can our dear fans get in touch with you, Ron?
At Unsquish the Fish.
Exactly. And what about you, Charlie?
You can get in touch with me at the Charlie Smith.
And Brian, if you have anybody out there that wants to sign as a walk-on free agent for Green Bay, and you want to help interview him for the organization, how do they find you?
Well, Ted Thompson has not returned any of my letters, so I would recommend that they don't go through me if they have a biting need to sign in Green Bay. But if you want to get in touch with me, you can reach me on Twitter at Brian's per second.
And once again, you can also find us on Twitter and the text versions of all of these to-do lists and a lot of this discussion on Facebook by searching Next Fan Up in the Facebook search bar. I have been Nick. your Kansas City Chiefs superfan. We hope you've enjoyed it. And there you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.
It looks like you're having a good time in Toronto. I'm following you on Twitter. There are all these pictures coming across. So it sounds like you're seeing an awful lot up there.
It's interesting. I mean, Toronto, it feels like if you want to leave the United States, but you want to feel like you're still in the United States, there's like a few places you can go that like check those two boxes like more than Toronto.
That was how I was felt about Toronto. It was like Chicago, but without all the assholes.
Thank you. Well said.